Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yeah, Tuesday, what's up? Welcome in, Grant and Danny on the Fan, April 13th, 2021. How are you, DR?
I'm pretty darn good, my friend. You know what I liked last night? I'm watching this baseball contest, right? Couple of teams playing in a National League park. Washington is the team that I care about because I'm from Washington, D.C. What they did last night is they had their regular baseball players back to play the baseball game. And they got what are called runs. They scored more runs than the opponent did, thus resulting in a win. Now, you got to score more runs, but it's over a confined amount of time. And you get nine innings to decide who's going to have more at the end and who's the winner. And the Nationals won. They hadn't done that for, it seemed like, weeks at a time. So that was fun. I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed the fact that the Capitals tried to push their chips in to get a little bit better this season.
Dude, they went all in, guy.
E.J. Raddick of NHL Network and NHL Media is going to be on the show at 3 o'clock today in 55 minutes. Where does he rank what Washington did compared to what the Penguins, the Islanders, and the Bruins did in the East? We will discuss that with him at 3 o'clock. And Ryan Wilson of CBS Sports, our buddy, who's great when it comes to previewing the NFL draft, put out a brand new two-round mock. Want to see what he's got Washington doing? We'll talk NFL draft with you as we continue today because we are now well under 3 weeks away from the NFL draft. But, yeah, why don't we start by throwing the ball around on all of last night's activity in D.C. There was a lot taking place, plenty to watch last night. I didn't get off the couch. Got home from the show a little bit after 7 in time to eat, sat down for the Nats game, and didn't get up till midnight when the Wiz were done beating the Jazz. But we'll start on the ball field. Nationals end the five-game skid, as you said. They beat St. Louis 5-2. Eric Fetty gave you a little sweat.
Eric Fetty.
Hitless first, hitless second. I started getting texts. I was getting tweets and Instagram direct messages from listeners.
It was fun.
Getting texts from broadcasters in town who were calling the game, saying, what do you think? Is Danny nervous yet? Two hitless innings from Fetty. He was actually 6 up, 6 down.
That's the best I've ever seen him throw.
As good and as dominant as he's ever been, touching 96. He ended up throwing 4 2/3 innings of one-run ball. Lost the strike zone at the end of his start, but I thought he was really good.
I did too. That's encouraging. Just from a baseball perspective, though, I think there was a long, was it a top of the third? Nets didn't push that many runs across, but it just took a little bit longer. That may have thrown off his rhythm a little bit. Wasn't as sharp when he came back out for the third inning. Still managed it's not a quality start by definition, but for what we're doing this year, where you didn't throw that many innings last year and you were a disaster in your first start, I know 4 2/3 ain't much to write home about, but the baseball team had a chance to win the game that he started in. That's a huge deal. That's a major step forward than the exact opposite of that.
The nerve of Matt Carpenter to lay down a bunt to break up a no-hitter.
I'm going, what's the ruling?
Hit or error? I mean, it was clearly a hit, but I was having to do some shtick
and
demand that they gave him an error so that the no-hitter stayed intact for a little while longer. A couple of other things from the game. You mentioned this. Nice to get your actual team back.
Mm-hmm.
Weird that when you have a lineup full of major league players, your offense is better. Kyle Schwarber, welcome back. 2 hits and an RBI. Yan Gomes is here. 2 hits for Yan Gomes in his first couple of at-bats. Josh Bell had an awesome take, spit on a pitcher's pitch just below the strike zone. For a walk, he actually drew 2 walks and got on base 3 times last night. He started a couple rallies with really good discipline at the plate. Getting those reinforcements back immediately made this team look infinitely better than it did before.
100%.
Schwarber, Bell, Harrison, who had a knock in the game, and it lengthened everything. A guy like Starlin Castro now hitting toward the bottom third of the lineup knocks in 2 runs last night. It was a big league lineup, finally.
Yeah, that's,
nice.
That's what it looks like. And listen, I don't expect Bell and Schwarber to tear the cover off the ball for a little while. I mean, you saw, I think Bell may have been either 3-0 or 3-1, swung through a couple show-me fastballs last night. Just doesn't look quite as sharp as he's going to in a couple weeks.
Didn't it look like he could have swung at 20 fastballs in that at-bat and not made contact?
Right.
And it's going to take some time.
That happens, right? Just the mechanism isn't firing as much. So he actually made a great adjustment. And this is a little bit nerdy inside baseball. We're actually talking about baseball, so it fits. But he basically said, I'm just going to take my whole body out of my swing the next time it came up. And literally just flicked his hands, almost like he's playing pepper in the backyard as a little leaguer. And, you know, because he's such a big, strong, absolute, you know, behemoth of a guy, still drew it a line drive to center field. He simplified things, realizing if I take my full A hack right now, it ain't going to work out. I was impressed with that.
Juan Soto, big game again last night. He saw 18 pitches. Only 6 were in the strike zone.
Yeah.
Still had 3 hits, got on base 4 times, drew a walk. He's just special. And in the pen, I think you have to like what you saw from Huddy. Dan Hudson in the 8th, Brad Hand in the 9th, both very, very good. If you want one concern out of last night, I would throw out there, Tanner Rainey is just still not close to right. That was one of those outings where he gets out of it unscathed without giving up a run.
Yep.
Even got a strikeout on a slider in the dirt to end it. So I'm sure you can say, all right, Tanner Rainey figured it out. You feel like you just escaped and dodged a bullet.
Yeah.
He threw 12 pitches, 6 sliders. That tells you everything you need to know about his fastball.
Right. I mean, he's right now Neo on the rooftop. Right, if he gets out of an inning.
What's that reference mean?
That's the Matrix where he's dodging bullets.
Oh, that's the scene where he's dodging the bullets.
Right. He's like, I wasn't fast enough. But anyway, that's him at this point. He isn't Tanner Rainey. I mean, he clearly is as a human being, but as a pitcher, it's not the same guy. And I know you got to keep sending him up, Maverick style, but at a certain point, maybe you take him out of the higher leverage spots.
Yeah, that was a tight game. He got up when it was a one-run game. Lo and behold, Andrew Stevenson, who hit his 3rd over-the-fence home run in 255 at-bats.
I've always said Andrew Stevenson is a lock to go yard. I've always said
something.
That. Yeah.
Good on you, kid.
Was that expected or unexpected?
Attaboy.
Yeah.
The 26-year-old. All right, let's go hoops for a second. Wizards last night.
What a game, man.
As if the Nats winning wasn't fun enough. So I flip over to then the Wizards full time after having the 2 TV setup working. They're playing the Jazz, best record in the NBA. Utah had won 24 consecutive games at home, and Washington pulled off a big upset. Explain to me how the Wizards do this.
I can't do it.
2 games, 2 wins against the Jazz, who have the best record in basketball this year. You could tell me they're not the best team in the NBA. Fine. Best record in the NBA. I'll clarify. Washington is 6-2 against Utah, Brooklyn, the Lakers, and the Clippers.
I don't know.
What?
I don't know. I don't know. 14-31 against everybody else? I think is that my math?
The math checks out, I think.
What are we doing? What's going on? But listen, I'm already like annoyed that they're ruining their lottery ping pong chances or whatever. We're past that. I'm at the point now where I'm just looking to enjoy my sporting events at nighttime when the Wizards play.
You knew before the season started they'd be picking 8th or 9th.
Yeah.
So like, why get your hopes up for the second?
They're
going to
get Ken Bone in the lottery. They're going to pick 9th again and take like the 3rd best Gonzaga player. Whatever. So I love
this year. That wouldn't be bad.
Yeah, this year, you know, another but Drew Timmy at the back of the lottery. I'm sure it'll be fine.
That will happen. Yeah. Late second round, Drew Timmy's going to be a Wizard.
Like we think Corey Kispert to do what the Bertans is not doing is going to be a great fit. Anyway, so with the Capitals, they're real stakes. With the Nationals, they're real stakes. With the Wizards, they're not. I just want to have fun right now, and that was fun. I don't know how they can play that way and then be the other team. Daniel Gafford is just a barrel of laughs right now. What an enjoyable player to watch jumping around. I mean, his per minute numbers, his per 36 minutes are outstanding.
I got him right here if you want him.
Give that guy more court time, please.
So Gafford has played in 4 games. The Wizards are 3-1 in those games. Per 36 minutes, he's averaging 27 points and 11 rebounds with 3.4 blocks while shooting 74%.
Now,
please start him.
Yeah. Now, nobody's saying if he played 36 minutes, that's what he would do.
He would not do
that. The point is, he's impactful, and I don't care about Robin Lopez shuffling his feet around. I don't care about Alex Len available off the street
at any time.
Robin
Lopez has the best hook shot in the game.
That and an ID that says Robin Lopez will get you Robin Lopez. I just don't care about his minutes. I don't care. Please look to the future. Please play Avdija. Please play Gafford. That's what I care about.
Gafford jumps like he is on a trampoline.
Yeah.
He's got a wingspan that's the size of a school bus.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you throw up around the rim,
it's going to get caught and dunked.
He dunks. It's crazy.
He's got Kenyon Martin to his game.
It has been, good call, it has been so long since the Wizards, I don't even know if they've had a guy with his athleticism, but have had a pogo stick leaper who turns everything into an oop. He was 6 of 8 from the floor last night. He scored 15 points in 17 minutes. I know that he got traded for a bag of basketballs, so this is not going to be some star. But he looks like a role player that has helped them immensely and can help, and I am really excited about his game.
Play small ball. Have some fun. Let's explore the space. Let's run up and down. Let's get people some numbers. Let's get some open looks for Bertans. Let's run some pick and roll with him and catch some oops, etc. I don't care about traditional post-up guys. I don't care about, you know, maybe Rui's a little undersized. Have the most fun possible for me, the viewer, and that includes Gafford getting more minutes.
Speaking of have a little fun, put up some numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Bradley Beal blew through his minutes restriction last night.
Yeah, I thought he was on a minutes restriction. What, did I mishear that?
You did not. Yeah. We were told pregame, he'll play this number of minutes. And then he played way more than that.
I think Donovan Mitchell talking some yin-yang to him said, you know what, I should probably go out there and get buckets on people.
I think that that was part of it. There's another thing to consider, though.
Huh.
Steph Curry's breathing on his neck for the scoring title.
Oh.
At one point in time, Bradley Beal looked like he was going to run away with the scoring title.
I didn't even thought of that.
Steph poured in 53. If you're Beal, you want to win the scoring title, I'd imagine. So he went out last night and scored 34 and got his, as you said. But that was good to see. And I just love the competitiveness of Beal. I'm not supposed to play that many minutes tonight, but now we might beat Utah.
Mm-hmm.
They're two games out of the 10 spot. I'm going to keep playing and I'm going
to
keep scoring.
And I'm going to go to the basket against Rudy Gobert a bunch of times.
Right.
Good luck with that.
Last thing on the Wizards,
uh-huh.
And it's not necessarily the, you know, in order chronologically or otherwise, the thing that should be last. Certainly not in a level of importance. Russell Westbrook was sensational again last night.
Mm-hmm.
25 points, 14 rebounds, 14 assists. And I know that because he had a triple-double, people have to pretend like triple-doubles don't matter and he's inefficient. Except that last night he was ultra-efficient. 8 of 15 from the floor. 9 of 11 from the line. That's old school Russell Westbrook free throw.
Remember that guy? He used to make free throws?
Hits a shot in the final minute. And
what
yells,
did he say?
That's the game.
That's the game.
Paul Pierce style.
Mm-hmm.
Not the Instagram video that Paul Pierce had recently that got him fired.
Very different. Paul
different
Pierce.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where are all these people that were calling us a couple weeks into the season to tell us that John Wall was better than Russell Westbrook?
The tweets I was getting through like one quarter
where
Wall was
are
playing
you?
Well.
As John Wall keeps going 4 for 20 from the floor, and Houston loses another game, and Russell Westbrook gets another triple-double and has another strong performance and is completely providing a leadership and a developmental, you know, influential locker room presence that this team needed. Bradley Beal saying at the All-Star break he's the best teammate he's ever had. Guys like Rui Hachimura and Denny Avdia saying he's on their butt, left and right, and all the time to do the right thing. Where are these people who were telling me how terrible this trade was? Newsflash, it wasn't. Okay? And I'm not sitting here acting like they're going to win the finals or Westbrook's an MVP. I, like you, pull my hair out at some of the shot selection. The turnovers are too many oftentimes. Last night it was only 3, but there are nights where he's turning the ball over 8 or 9 times. There's some baggage with Russ. I get it. Dude plays his butt off, works his butt off, great demeanor on the bench, coaching guys up. And again, I'll just go back to the trade. Stop telling me that they got the wrong end of that deal. They didn't.
Right. And they got out of John Wall's deal. And you open up a door and you got a shot. You got a shot. Nobody's saying it's going to work. I think you were the instant they signed John Wall to that contract, and he was already hurt, by the way, with his knee, and then the Achilles injury happened. You were doomed. You were stuck in a rut. There were no assets. There was no way to get better. There was no way to re-sign your own guys. Everyone from Oubre to Porter to otherwise. You were going to end up in this spot where you were stuck hoping that somebody could come and be healthy enough to play with Bradley Beal to make them meaningful. You got out of that deal, and you've got a window now. You've opened up where you've got two elite players. And I know there are wrinkles with Westbrook. You touched on them. You're 100% right. They're exasperating things. What I don't get is, why don't you acknowledge Wall's exasperating things? Look at the DNPs. Look at the inactives. Right. Look at his turnover totals. I see 6 and 5 and 7. I got plenty of those.
Guy,
where he's not put up the rebounding
up his
numbers.
Shooting.
Yeah, I know.
Lately, it's like every night, it's like 4 for 20. It's crazy.
No, he's got the occasional.
He was trending nationally last night.
Yeah.
And I clicked on his name. I'm like, why is John Wall trending? And it's just a bunch of Rockets fans livid.
Well, he's had a couple good games, too. But the point is, it's yeah, exactly. Like, awesome. That's adorable. But what people love to do is take one little tiny sample that sort of proves what they're talking about. Again, Wall had a great first half that time that Houston played Washington early on in the season. He had a better first half than Russell Westbrook. So now everyone's trying to dunk on people that liked it. No.
This, and I don't want to sound like I'm hating on John Wall. I've always liked John Wall.
My point is,
people celebrated that he had, you know, Houston had won the trade. And I'm talking about Wizards fans because no one hates the Wizards more than Wizards fans. You guys know that. And so they're saying Houston got the better end of this deal. 10 days after the deal's made, 20 days after the deal is made, where are you right now? That's just not the case. Westbrook's got burst back. Again, I'm not telling you he's a top five player in the NBA, but he is this year unequivocally, statistically. In terms of analytics, in terms of the eyeball, he is a better player doing more for his team than John Wall is in Houston, period.
Yeah.
And I don't even think it's close. Capitals, let's go there for a second. They got a game tonight at the arena. They are playing the Flyers this evening, and they will be unveiling their brand new key top six forward in Anthony Mantha, who they acquired via trade from the Red Wings. So looking at the line combos from Morning Skate that I saw online, it looks like Mantha's going to play on the second line tonight. Nicholas Backstrom centering TJ Oshie and Anthony Mantha this evening. I'm pretty excited about that.
I like it.
So you got Ovechkin with Kuzi and Willie, top line Tommy on the on the number one line. And then, and it's kind of like two co-number one lines, but I just always refer to whichever one Ovechkin is on.
As the number one,
as the top line.
Right.
So the second line would be Oshie, Backstrom, and Mantha. That means your boy Sprong.
My guy, Sherry,
on the third line with Lars Eller. And the fourth line remains the same, pretty much unbroken up most of the year with Carl Hagelin working hard with Nick Dowd and Garnet Hathaway.
What should we expect from Mantha tonight and then kind of going forward?
I think you will be surprised early on how physical he is. For a guy who can score goals, you're going to notice him. He's huge. But I think you're going to notice one or two big hits along the boards where he's going to rattle the glass. That'll be surprising. Again, the speed isn't great, but I would not be surprised to see that line score tonight and get off to a fast start. He is pretty gifted playmaker offensively. Not a center, not a guy that's, you know, teeing people up all the time, but his assist numbers on a bad Red Wings team were always pretty decent,
right? Yeah.
So I think he talked tonight, about tonight earlier today, and you'll hear some of those clips on Grant and Danny, but he talked about it'd be great to get off to a start where they scored a couple of goals. Like, he has pretty lofty expectations, but he's probably just giddy. He hasn't played with skill like Backe and Oshie probably ever.
Well, he's just been mired. I mean, it's funny to think of Detroit as a team that
he's
doesn't win.
He's been urban mired.
Yeah, but Detroit's been awful for a while. Like, they were when I was a kid, they were great. They were the preeminent team, not only in hockey, maybe in all of sports. They were like the class organization, and they've been a hot garbage fire for years. So I'd be excited too.
Poor Detroit sports fans.
Yeah.
I saw some tweet. It reminded me of like 5 years ago.
I know.
Myself on Twitter. They're like, the Red Wings made a trade today, and they didn't get blown out. Also, Casey Mize threw 5 good innings for the Tigers. We're really turning the corner. Yeah,
Tigers will lose 110 games. Right. The Red Wings are one of the worst teams in the NHL. The Pistons are rebuilding for the 15th straight year.
Washington football team. We didn't get to them in our opening around the horn opportunity here. So let's do that next. They've signed a tight end that everyone in the league is talking about today. Could this actually be a piece in the future that Washington turns into an elite weapon? You're listening to Grant and Danny.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
He's Danny, I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan in 32 minutes. EJ Raddick of NHL Network on the Caps. Two moves at the deadline, including the blockbuster that was the biggest trade in the NHL yesterday. Welcome back. You're locked into The Fan. Danny, the Washington football team unearthed a gem at tight end last year.
They did.
When they went and found Logan Thomas, who had never really been given much of an opportunity as a tight end one, and who was a college quarterback. They're going the route of getting creative at that position again, it sounds like. You just heard Byron mention this in the update. They signed a guy today named Samus Reyes, who was a basketball player in college at Tulane, who is from Chile. He moved to Florida at age 14, played high school ball, and then got a scholarship and went and played at Tulane on the hardwood. He was working out at Florida's Pro Day within the last few weeks. And that led to scouts raving about this guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's working out for his own benefit, clearly, but you're there because Kyle Trask is throwing passes and scouts are there to see Kadarius Toney and some of the guys that are going to go in round one for the Gators. By the end of the workout, apparently, I saw one reporter say, there were as many as 12 scouts gathered around this guy. A 6'6" tight end, a basketball player who's trying to pull the Antonio Gates move of going and playing football.
The Mo Alley Cox.
He trained for 10 weeks in what they call the international player pathway, trying to get guys that play other sports or from other countries, you know, into the NFL scouting circles.
Mm-hmm.
And he just completely blew people away. Washington signed him today ahead of him being placed on a team via this program because they like what they saw that much.
So I obviously have never seen him play. I obviously had to look it up just like everybody else did. So apparently the... He's enormous, first of all, as you kind of touched on. So Tony Gonzalez style, he's 6'6", and he's, as I said, big, fast, strong. He's got something they use called the relative athletic score, where you get scored based on, it's like a sliding scale. The bigger you are and the faster you move, the more quickly you move, the higher you're going to score on such a thing, right? Like Trent Williams, for example, if he came out in the draft this year as a left tackle, would score incredibly highly. Someone that's that big and that physical, moving around the way that he does, is ridiculous. He's in the upper percentages. The best ever athletic size adjusted tight end to ever enter the NFL. That includes Kyle Pitts this year, who is as can't miss, gold jacket, looks like a superstar, perfect, etc., that they have ever had testing at this position. So, yeah, it's worth signing. Yeah, it's worth taking a flyer on that guy. Even though he's 25 and hasn't really played much football, athletically, he is off the charts. So, yeah, maybe you could teach him. Maybe you could have him run three or four routes, block a little bit, and see what you got.
If you're going to give out a flyer, This is the guy you give the flyer to. The uber raw, hasn't been playing football that long slash at all. Player in another sport, came over it from an international spot where football's not being played by everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Who's 6'6 and can run fast. Why not? There are stories like this around the NFL. There's just enough of them, by the way, that every time a former basketball player becomes a tight end, it becomes a story because that's going to be the next Antonio Gates.
Yeah, this isn't the water boy, all right, where Michigan tried their water boy and he got his head taken off. No. There's a thing. There's a skill set that translates. If you're an undersized center or power forward that is muscular and quick, you got a shot to do this at that specific position.
Remember Jai Lewis?
Of course I do.
He was the big man for the George Mason University Patriots when they went on their Final Four run. After he was done playing college basketball, I don't remember if he went and played pro ball first or not, but within a year or so after that Final Four run, he tried to convert to being an offensive tackle. And I'm pretty sure he spent a training camp with the New York Giants. Very rare, though, that you go hoops to tackle.
Mm-hmm.
He was a beefier guy. Generally, to your point, it's you know, a four or ish. You know, I guess you could be a super athletic big three.
Like Mo'Ali Cox, undersized five is another one, too, yeah.
And you go play tight end. And for the record, Mo'Ali Cox has turned into a good tight end.
He's an NFL player, man.
I love this type of creativity. I really like these kind of stories. This new tight end for Washington, Samus Reyes, was getting some run recently on NFL Network after that Florida Pro Day. This is what they were saying about him on Network.
He's from Chile, from Santiago de Chile. He also played college basketball, most recently at Tulane. He was one of 11 international players to work out at Florida Pro Day. Scott Pioli helped put those international players there at Florida and helping bring them to the NFL. Scott, tell me about Reyes here, because DJ even pointed to the screen, Daniel Jeremiah, going, who is that guy?
Yeah. Well, Andrew, you know, what happens is the NFL started a program a couple of years ago called the International Player Pathways. And what we do every year is identify, evaluate, select players to go to IMG Academy and train for a couple of weeks. Did that again this year. This year, Coach Dan Mullen from Florida was so kind to let the 11 players come out and be a part of this pro day. And as you mentioned, the guy that showed out today is Samus Reyes from Chile. Fascinating background. He grew up in Chile, played basketball, was an international AAU player, came to the United States on his own. And again, his background is just incredible. Ended up going to Tulane after 2 years of junior college, playing NCAA basketball, being a very good player. Came in today, measured at 6.053, 260 pounds. Vertical jumped 40 inches, Andrew. 31 reps on the bench and ran a 4.65. Had a tremendous day. Now, here's the thing, Andrew. I've been down there watching and working with these players.
That's insane.
Yes, it is.
That athletic profile is ridiculous. 6'6", 260, runs a 4.6. That vertical, those reps, preposterous.
It's insane. That's why I say it's quite literally the greatest of these ratios in the history of the position.
Yeah.
Of any time they've ever measured anybody, like,
meaning
ever.
Workout warrior yes. status, you're right. Number one.
Right. So when now Kyle Pitts is faster than he is, but Kyle Pitts is also 35 pounds heavier and shorter. You see what I'm saying? So like for the size, speed, and
lighter.
Strength that they measure.
Right? Kyle Pitts is lighter.
What did I say?
Heavier.
So I apologize. Yes, this guy's heavier than Kyle Pitts.
Right.
For the size, speed, strength, the ratio, and the equation they plug out, and they go, here's what the data says, sir. And you go, thank you very much. You take the print off and you go show your boss. This is the greatest ever. The number one ever at that. Does that mean he can play in the NFL? I have no idea. But this is what I would go down throwing at the board. I would throw this wacky wall walker at the wall and see if it stuck. Please and thank you. I'm all about that.
The tight ends coach in Washington for the football team is Pete Hayner, I think is how you pronounce his name. He has a really impressive resume. If you look at his career and the tight ends that he's been around, I've talked to some people about Washington's coaching staff, and there are a lot of assistants under Rivera that people around the league like, but I'm telling you, people love this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And you see what Logan Thomas was able to do developing last year. Some of the guys that get credit for the work that Pete's done with them include Pro Bowlers Greg Olsen, Vernon Davis, and Delanie Walker.
It's not a bad list.
I mean, his resume is legit. Olsen made 3 straight Pro Bowls from 14 to 16, averaged 80 catches for over 1,000 yards in that time with 19 touchdowns. And you say, well, of course, Greg Olsen's great. He got great after he went to Carolina. He was in Chicago before that. He was fine.
I barely remember him in Chicago.
He's a pretty good
player.
Amazing.
Yeah.
He got drafted high. But if you just look at, you know, who these players were when they started working with him and then after that, I think this is one of the better-kept secrets on the staff, one of the better position coaches in terms of resume that they've got. And it's not a coincidence that Logan Thomas last year, in my opinion, probably made the biggest leap of anybody on the roster.
Yeah, Logan Thomas week 1 to Logan Thomas week 14, it's the only thing that was the same was his name. That was a different dude by that point. I mean, early on, I mean, the scores say that. The advanced stuff says that, right? Where separation scores were quite literally at the bottom of all people that were eligible pass catchers. His catch percentage, catch radius, all that other kind of stuff just wasn't there because he wasn't refined at the position. It usually doesn't happen that quickly, but it did for him.
I think Jason just hopped on the line, wants to talk about tight ends. Let's go to the Gambit DC listener line. Jason, what do you think of Samus Reyes being added here? This is a rumor. You still probably need a tight end, too, to go with Logan Thomas.
No, I think it's great stuff. I like the route that it seems that we're going in terms of looking at, you know, even Thaddeus Moss, right? We're looking for those underdeveloped guys. Logan Thomas, you know, it seems to have worked out so far. And even our receiver side, you know, our signings, you got more blue-collar-esque, not diva kind of players now. You know, Terry and Gibson already, I think we got a solid offensive loom now.
Appreciate you. Yeah, they're establishing some weapons. I'm glad he mentioned Moss.
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised that they waived him the other day, just because tight end is not a position where you're set at
right.
all. I don't know what the drawback is to just keeping a guy like that around and having him try to develop with his bloodlines as Randy Moss's kid in the college career he had, catching balls from Joe Burrow at LSU.
Yeah, it must really just not be there.
For
them to give up
enough
on him, yeah.
They must have said, there's just nothing that interesting. But you got Logan Thomas, and then the next best guy on the roster is either Marcus Ball from Ohio State or Demarek Hemingway played a bunch last season. My guess is they're going to add a tight end in the mid-rounds, if not before
I
that.
I think so, right?
As their tight end, too. And then you've got a project here, a prospect who they are going to probably groom. And,
like, that's what practice squads were made for.
Tired. Absolutely.
Was that, right?
But I'm excited. I don't get overly excited to the point where I have expectations when you get a guy like Samus Reyes, but I am guilty as charged for being the guy. When you take a basketball player and you make him a tight end and you tell me he's 6'6 and he can run, I'm guilty of having a little bit of juices flow.
Well, it's different than saying, hey, there's no risk here. This isn't, you know, trading a third-round pick for T.J. Duckett.
You're not paying him a bunch of money.
This doesn't cost you anything. This is worth pursuing. And nobody's telling you because a guy had three catches in a preseason game that he's now a legit wide receiver one. Nobody's Marco Mitchelling anything. Nobody's giving you you can pick your preseason running back or giving you a Marcus White's the next great pass rusher in the league. No one's doing that. Here's what we're saying. He now plays for Washington. That's cool. There's some upside here, and it's going to be fun.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. I saw a clip. I'm going to have to find it during the break so that we can play it next, of a random sport and a broadcaster losing his mind over something that happened in this sport.
Mm.
And I think this guy calling this play, I can't even call it a play, I'm using air quotes, was more excited than any broadcaster you've heard calling anything in a long, long time. We'll play that for you next on G&D here on The Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Grant and Dave, how are you on April 13th, 2021?
Hey, Grant and Dave, it's good to be with you on this day in April Day.
Die. G&D with you on the Fan, 15 minutes out from asking about the Caps' newest players, including the blockbuster acquisition they made and bringing in Anthony Mantha. We're getting an outside national perspective on what they did and how they stack up in the East going into the postseason in about a month. EJ Raddick of NHL Network will be with us at 3. I don't know when this became a pet project of mine,
uh-huh,
a little bit of a passion, but at some point along the way, I became a big fan of finding exciting calls of obscure sports and or Broadcasters losing their mind thrilled about something that happened that the vast majority of people just wouldn't care about. It could be a, you know, a game that's on TV or not. It could be a random event that's taking place in anonymity being streamed online. But the broadcaster's in the moment, and they're loving it, and they're feeling it. Because the people that are there are excited for in their world.
It's the biggest thing ever.
Like, so, I'm watching, what's the show? A Queen's Gambit. So I'm a few episodes into Queen's Gambit now. And by the way, I'm loving it.
If only somebody told you that it was excellent.
You told me that it was good.
I think I told you in, what, August that it was great?
I don't just go watch shows the night
just
that they
come out. Just watch them. It's seven episodes.
And that's why I'm grinding my way through it. And I think it's really good,
It's excellent. So good.
But there are moves and little things happening that these chess folks are giddy about.
They lose their minds, yeah.
You got a little carpal tunnel going over there?
Oh, yeah, big time. You got to flex it.
Danny's just working on his wrists like he played tennis yesterday.
Oh, it's the pits. I didn't. It feels like I did, though. I'm old.
That's what happens when you play tennis twice.
That's right.
But I'm watching this episode, and you know, it's all these tennis terms. Tennis terms, I'm sure. chess terms.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, this means nothing to me, but this Queen's Gambit girl pulls off a move, and everyone's like, did she just rook the bishop to the seventh quadrant?
Queen to knight's bishop four.
And everyone's like cheering, you know? So anyway, this is my bit. Uh-huh. I love the excited moment in a sport I don't care about. So I present to you.
Yes.
This happened over the weekend. I think this was televised. This is in a pro bowling event. And I think it was the third or fourth time ever that a guy successfully pulled off the 7-10 split in a televised event.
Oh, man.
Are you familiar with the 7-10 split?
I've been there many times, my friend.
So the 7-10 split is the two farthest pins from each other in each corner of the lane. And I thought I've seen this 100,000 times on TV. I feel like this happens every time you turn around and a bowling event's on. Someone does a 7-10 split and executes to perfection. Apparently it never happens, but listen to how excited this guy was.
Right through the face, leaving the 7-10. The 7-10 only been made on television three times in the history of professional bowling on TV.
Come on, kid, do it.
Oh, he did it! He did it! He got the 7-10, Randy!
Oh,
he did it!
Randy.
My goodness, the ginger assassin just dropped the 7-10.
The
you
ginger
bet, kid.
Assassin?
You bet!
And then they start firing up rock music in the house.
And pour some sugar on me plays in the house.
The ginger assassin is a redhead.
I gathered that.
I don't know if you know that.
I deduced that.
He is an Andy Dalton-looking ginger, and apparently he's an assassin of pins.
Oh, my
gosh. So I love, first of all, he sets it up beautifully by telling us how many times the 7-10 split has ever been completed successfully. I can't use bowling terms. Knocked down?
Yeah, done.
The seven
executed.
There you go.
Yeah.
I didn't know if that was right. The 7-10 split has been done.
Yeah.
And then he throws to the pin, and this guy goes nuts in the video.
Sure,
obviously.
He goes ham.
He goes, but he's like screaming about Randy, and his voice is cracking, and Randy, we've seen it. We were here. 30 years from now, we'll tell our kids. Can you believe it? He might as well have just cried. You know, just started bawling about how cool it was.
So remember, years ago. Oh, sorry, Darius, go ahead.
I was going to say, remember where you are so you remember where you were.
Exactly. Right. This is a remember where you are, Charlie Slows, so you can remember where you were moment.
So many years ago, I saw it on SI's Hot Clicks, but the announcer for Leeds United, right? They're in the Premier League. I don't care about them. The documentary about them on Amazon Prime, by the way, is excellent. Super, super fun. But they are like a second division club and are particularly good. They score a goal, and it's a hometown Leeds guy who's just going on for 5 minutes. He's like, warm up the Pope's. I'll be home tonight, Leeds. Oh, get in. He's basically sweating and crying. Who scored that? He's doing it. He's doing it. He's doing it for all you back at the club, at the pub. He's hammer time for all of you. Everyone who's worked an hour. Everyone who's gotten up in the morning and suffered. That goal is for you. And he's just losing. It's like the game's going on for another 5 minutes. And this guy is just pouring his heart out about all the suffering that these fans have suffered. I mean, it's...
Was it Ray Hudson?
Maybe. Honestly, I couldn't tell you.
Ray Hudson, who's the legendary crazy soccer excited announcer.
It might be.
And he is, you know, he watches these guys like Ronaldo or Messi or whoever. Mm-hmm. And they'll score a goal that looks great. And he'll go, as electric as throwing a toaster into a bathtub.
Yeah, it's like that.
You know, it's so much of that. And... if I know he's calling it,
yeah,
I'll watch.
You get a little moment, yeah.
100%. If I know he's calling it, I will absolutely watch. Leeds United, quick Google tells me.
I think they're in the top division
They've
now.
They've beaten Fulham,
yep,
Sheffield, and Man City, all since March 19th by 2-1 scores.
That is
something. Call them scores in soccer?
I think so.
All right.
Results, I think they say.
A 2-1 results. There
that documentary, by the way, pit. Is great because they're trying to get to the first division, and they do. And it's it's like they've discovered fire. Everyone's so happy.
Kidding.
It's so wonderful. Such good television.
I look forward to more on that documentary.
Well, you're not going
to
watch it, but I'm telling you it's great.
I'd rather hear this audio one more time. Darius, can you play the clip?
I look forward to that
documentary. Do you understand, though, why I love people screaming about things that I'm not interested
in? Yes.
It's just so fun. Here we go.
On TV. Come on, kid. Do it.
Come on, kid.
He did it! He did it! He got the 7-10, Randy! Randy. He did it! My goodness, the ginger assassin just dropped the 7-10. You bet,
music.
Kid. You
that
bet.
They fire up the music in the house, in the bowling alley, in the stadium, and you can just picture that guy going around high-fiving people, masked up. I also
just
love
bigger and McCracken.
When's the last time you've heard a broadcaster just drop a woo-hoo-hoo-hoo? Like calling play-by-play, like Nance. You know, he's like, hits the bucket. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! We're looking for converted, the 7-10 split.
Converted.
We will convert a conversation on the Capitals with EJ Raddick next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.